senses in front of your face. Now, I can't make you do it. You gotta look at the guy next to you. Look into his eyes. Now, I think you're gonna see a guy who will go that inch with you.
Hell yeah.
You're gonna see a guy who will sacrifice himself for this team because he knows when it comes down to it, you're gonna do the same for him.
That's the for the game. Gentlemen. Fourth and goal in overtime. Looking to throw, it's Carr. He got it in, and the celebration is on. Hey, walk.
I think if he doesn't secure catch there, I think that it's not.
He's going to try to return it.
He's going to get hit.
Oh, here we go.
You got to.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
No way. No way.
And there are settings that were created for games and days like this. The old horseshoe on the banks of the Olentangy, the cathedral of college football, is ready for the latest clash of contenders, Oregon versus Ohio State. This is different than any game that we've had this season. It feels like an all or nothing game on this first Saturday of November. Old rivalries, shot at redemptions, we have it all today. We can learn a lot from just watching all the signs, but nothing can steal the signs that are pointing towards this major showdown, one that will send the earth reverberating with the mighty cheer of O-H-I-O. But then there's the Ducks trying to exercise the flying V. Hang on, everyone. It's Ducks and Buckeyes today. I'm here with Phony, Penguin, RB, and we have a couple special guests on the show, Fifth Line, and we got another great surprise on the show today is we have a father-son duo. We'll bring them on the show a little bit later. Big matchup today between Ohio State and Oregon. We have Ohio State leads that series 9-1. Oregon won the last one in 2021. These two teams actually faced off in the 2015 National Championship, where the Buckeyes won big 42-20. Probably one of the biggest stages for both of those programs at the time. I'm here with all my guests and stuff. Penguin, what do you think about all the matchups and stuff that are going on?
Good morning. I think it's a great weekend for football. You got two contenders facing off. And then we've got the other games we'll be talking about. Tennessee and Bama facing off. Colorado, Kansas State. I'm sorry, Tennessee, Florida, and South Carolina, Alabama. It's a weekend chock-loaded with games that are going to determine playoff seeding. So, RB, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm buzzing off the second cup of coffee I just drank or if I'm buzzing off that intro. It is great to be on NDL Game Day. I'm super excited for this matchup. I think you said it in the intro, Tim. This feels like an all-or-nothing game for both of these teams. Both teams dropping a game in the last couple of days. It's go time for both of these teams. I'm super excited. Great matchups in Block 4. Hard to believe we're halfway through already, and it feels like this is the block that is going to separate who is going to make that run here into the college football playoff, who's going to make that conference championship run. A lot of great games coming up. Super excited. I'll pass it off to Phony. Phony, what do you got for this block in the show coming up?
Yeah, you guys touched on it really well there. Big matchup here this week. I think this can determine the outlook of the Big Ten as well if we look at it. But talking about that and also Ohio State here, bring in our guest fifth line, big Ohio State guy, coach of the Coastal Carolina Chanteliers. So we're going to get his thoughts of what he's thinking this week. Let's welcome him in here.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
More fifth line. So, big Ohio State guy, right?
Yeah. Born and raised Columbus area and Ohio State fan since I was born.
Okay. Big. So, talk about some Ohio State here. Looking throughout their history of all their players that they've had throughout their season, right? Especially recent history. Great players to come through Ohio State. What are like some five players, maybe a Mount Rushmore of Buck guys that you think of when you think about Ohio State?
Oh man. Most recent history, I'd say, the 2015 team that came through and won the national title in the first college football playoff. Obviously they have a special place in the Ohio State fans' hearts. Both the brothers definitely are up there. We got guys like Michael Thomas that came through that year, Marshon Lattimore. More recent years, we've had great receiving cores with Ibuka and Marvin Harrison. You see Terry McLaurin lighting it up, but that's just a few guys. But the teams really stand out more than, each individual player. All of them playing together really makes the difference around here.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe here in a few years you might add Jeremiah Smith to that list just by his production and stuff that's been going on. Going off of that, big rivalries for Ohio State throughout their history in Michigan, right? So outside of Michigan, what is one of your least favorite teams that you just despise?
That's a great question. Oregon is quickly becoming one of those teams. The past few years, I know we've dropped two games to them. Obviously, we won the one that counted in 2015, but they're getting up there, giving us a game every single year. Other than that, when we play Alabama very rarely, they're up there as well. Basically, any SEC school, we're out to get them.
Okay. With all the Ohio State memories that you've had over your years, any games that stick out to you or certain moments in Ohio State history, what would be one of your best or favorite Ohio State memories?
Oh, man. I was really young when the national championship in 2002 came. So I have very little memory of that game, but that really stands out. I remember getting off work early to watch the 2015 title game, which had a lot of drama in it from start to finish. But for me, a few years back, there was a game between Michigan and Ohio State in Columbus where Curtis Samuel, I believe it's the one where he was like half a yard short. Michigan people will say, you know, it was a conversion or a touchdown, whatever it was at the end. I don't quite remember it, but that moment was absolutely electric. Just beating your rival by that much in overtime is thrilling. And that's probably the Michigan game I'll always remember.
Yeah, it's always tough to leave out a Michigan game there. But Fifth Line, I know we got RB here. He's going to ask a couple questions for you.
Yeah. Hey, Coach Fifth Line, RB here. I'm going to step in for Petty D today and be petty and take over. So I have been to the last two Ohio State-Notre Dame games. Not going to talk about the outcomes. That last one was brutal. But I will say I went to Columbus in 2022. Super impressed with Short North area in Columbus. Super fun game day atmosphere. But when I got down to the stadium area, it wasn't that fun. Like, I didn't feel like it was an amazing tailgate scene or college scene. Got into the stadium. You know, it was pretty cool how big that stadium is and crazy. But I would say I was a little underwhelmed at the game day experience in Columbus. Any thoughts or comments on that?
Yeah, it's definitely a football town. It's a football state. You know, it's one of the places where, you know, you go out on a Saturday around noon, 3:30, whenever time kick is. There's not many people on the road. You know, you go out at halftime, everybody's getting their food to go back and watch the game. You know, there's some businesses that'll close down just for this for whatever game's going on, especially when they get bigger towards the end of the year. But no, it's definitely a great place to be. The tailgates are great out there, and just depends on where you're at and who you're rooting for, obviously. But yeah, we got a lot of respect out there for Marcus.
All right. I'll allow it. I was being petty, but I will say I was leaving the game, and the frat boys had me in hell, just chirping me the entire walk back to my Airbnb. So definitely a passionate fan base. They were giving me hell. Wearing my Notre Dame stuff, but no. All jokes aside, it was a cool college town, fun experience. One of my best friends is an Ohio State fan. He's coming over tomorrow. I have seen some of the worst Ohio State losses with him. I have watched the Clemson bowl game in the playoff a few years ago with him. I watched the Georgia semifinal game with him a few years ago. Got to ask you, Fifth Line, is this the year? Is this the year Ohio State breaks through and brings it home?
It's hard to tell, right? I mean, this Ohio State team was touted to be one of the best in the nation. I still believe it can be. We got some things to fine tune and figure out, but you know, one loss isn't the end of the world, but it comes a little bit closer every time.
All right, you're a realistic Ohio State fan. I like it.
I'm gonna jump in here and got another question for you as well, Fifth Line. So going off of that and, going back to like, I guess the history of Ohio State players with all the grace to come through and stuff, there's always room for some bust that doesn't kind of succeed throughout their careers. We can look at a bunch of other teams as well, like those Alabamas and LSU teams, but coming out of Ohio State, what was one player that maybe you kind of were hyped about or were excited to kind of see what they do in their career, but just never panned out?
You know, like my biggest example of this would be like Chase Young. Chase Young in college was pretty productive. You know, he was a first round pick, but when it came time for his NFL career, he wasn't, you know, lighting the world on fire every year, like, you know, the Bosa was before him or, you know, some other draft picks. But I wouldn't say he's a bust, but he's definitely a player I thought would have more success going forward. And he had decent production in college, but that would be the guy that kind of stands out in my mind in recent years.
Yeah, you can look at that and see how productive he was, like you said, at Ohio State, right? But I know he dealt with some injuries and stuff early in his career, and that kind of hurts players pretty early and stuff. But looks like he's kind of turning that around stuff with a new team. But
hey, yeah, Fifth Line, I want to jump back in here. RB speaking, would love to get your honest thoughts and opinions on Will Howard. Like, is he the guy? Do they need to make a quarterback change? What are your thoughts on the quarterback situation in Columbus?
I would say definitely no quarterback change. Will I think is catching a lot of flack right now for the awareness, obviously in the Oregon game. I would say that, you know, they say he's played in a lot of big games. You know, that's at Kansas State. That's not the Ohio State where, you know, every game on the line is for getting to that title, getting to Indy, you know, moving forward, and especially this year. You know, you can't drop many games. So I think he's playing well. I think he's starting to figure things out a little bit more as they face more road tests and obviously bigger moments. He's gonna shine, I think. So I think he's the guy. We just have to keep trusting in him, and he'll work through it.
Hell yeah! I love how you threw in there the Ohio State. You had to fit one of those in there today. I love it.
So fifth line, we got one more for you. So looking back on earlier in the year, with kind of going off what RB was talking about as well, offense was looking great. Kind of early struggles or a little bit of struggles against last week's opponent, but looks like they fixed the defensive side of the ball. Any concerns for offensive side going forward, especially leading up to some big games coming up, or feel confident kind of what they've been producing here?
You know, I want to say that I'm confident, but, you know, I've seen Chip Kelly obviously coach different Oregon teams. I've seen him in the NFL. I don't know that his offensive style is really taken on to the talent that we have there. I would say that, you know, I'm confident in the offense. We have, like I said, a lot of talent, a lot of great key players that are hard to defend. The one thing I'll say is they need to keep it more simple, right? You know, get your good guys out in space, get them moving, get them, you know, side to side. If that doesn't work, just run the ball. You have two great running backs. But, you know, that's easier said than done. But, you know, I think they'll get it fixed. I think they have all the right pieces. They just have to find, you know, what works for them especially well.
Hey, fifth line, it's Tim here. Thanks again for being on the show and everything. Just kind of talk about this season and you and your coaching. I think you're over there at Coastal Carolina. You're off to a 1-3 start, probably not the success that you kind of thought you would have at the beginning of the season. I know your out-of-conference schedule was pretty tough. What are kind of your expectations and stuff moving forward, and what adjustments are you guys making?
So this is my second year in this league. I coached at USC last year, came to Coastal Carolina. We put in a new playbook this past week to play Nevada. That worked out pretty well for us in the end. We had a rough start to the season playing Duke and Texas, two great coaches that are both hot right now. And we had San Diego State the week before, and that was a very tough rivalry match between us. he ran away with that one pretty quick. But, no, it's definitely been a change. It's a lot different coming from USC down to Coastal, but I wanted a challenge in the Fun Belt, and we definitely got one on our hands. So looking forward to starting our conference play here soon.
Yeah, good luck. I see that starts up against Old Dominion coming up in the Sun Belt Conference, which I think that conference is wide open this year. We've talked about that on the show compared to years past. It seems like it's pretty even in there, and it's kind of anyone's game. So you're obviously they haven't even started any conference play and stuff. So we'll keep you on the show here. You're going to be one of our guest pickers today. And so just stick around. We kind of want to talk about just the season up to date. I think RB had already hit on it. You know, we're about the halfway mark of the season. We got college football. The committee's going to be meeting soon, and then, you know, we'll kind of start having a reveal of college football playoff picture, which is already kind of starting to shape a little bit, although not really, if that makes any sense. We got a pretty big season and stuff coming up here. I just kind of want to talk about some of our expectations and some of the hot seats and stuff like that we've experienced this year. Looking back, you know, I think I want to talk about one of the biggest hot seaters for me is Coach El Jefe at Kentucky. And the reason being is that I think there were really big expectations with him coming over to the SEC after a one-loss season last year. I know his expectations were coming into Kentucky and making some noise. Starting the season off 2-2 really doesn't leave himself any leeway or air the rest of the season. Definitely in that SEC, that's tough. It's really hard for me to see any type of four-loss team make it into the playoffs this year. I think, and so he really doesn't leave much, room for error there. I think it's an uphill battle for him. He's still got several big matchups coming up. And so that's kind of my hot seater for the season. I think one of my biggest surprises would be Georgia Tech right now, sitting at the top of the ACC with a 4-0 record, 5-1. He's got a huge matchup coming up against Notre Dame. And so those are my two really big surprises so far this season. What about you, Penguin?
For me, I definitely have to agree about Georgia Tech. They're out there, out front, and have a chance to, you know, make some, you know, national shockwaves if they the Irish. I'm looking at a team where the coach over the and then also Virginia Tech with he's got a well known legend there who's got some he's got some titles to his name in VT run gun, and both those teams holding multiple losses already early in the season. Doors not closed on being playoff teams for them, but I definitely would have had both of those guys thinking, fighting it out for the conference at the beginning of the season. And here they are with no margin for error at this point already.
Now, what about a URB?
I'll say, man, a lot of great storylines this season. Not a surprise to me, but I've been screaming from the rooftops about Baylor to start this season. You know, I've gotten to know him, play him a good amount. 6-0 start, looking great, beating some great team. I think he's on a crash course with Kansas coming up here toward the end of the season. That could be like a top three, top five matchup going into conference championship week. They might even end up meeting again. In terms of disappointments, it's tough to say. You know, I was thinking about all of these teams, I won't even say disappointment, but like there are a ton of one-loss teams of guys last year who were nearly undefeated or in the playoff. We got LSU with a loss already, so that eliminates the margin for error in the SEC. We're talking Ohio State with a loss, Oregon with a loss. There's no unbeaten teams in the Big Ten. You know, everyone in the Big Ten has at least one loss in the out-of-conference scheduling. It's going to be really interesting coming down the stretch. I obviously look at the SEC, and you can talk about Kentucky, but, you know, two conference losses, he probably can't, you know, have another one. You got Georgia with a loss already. Tennessee has a crazy stretch coming up as well. Like I said earlier in the show, man, it's going to be insane these next two blocks to see where the dominoes fall.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think a big surprise to me, someone on a hot seat right now, early struggles last year as well. I think we got to look at Clemson. I think he's been struggling the last couple of years there. With a big program like that, I think something's got to happen. Big turnaround they got to look at here coming up, going into next season possibly. He went 9-4 last year, season one vet. Rough start this year, 3-2 overall, 0-2 in the conference. So it's going to be tough, a tough battle to jump back in that conference race. And he's going to have to need some things happen, some big wins. Two losses came to at NC State and home against FSU in a close one. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. And looking at the rest of his schedule here, it doesn't get much better. He's got to go at Stanford, at Virginia, at Louisville, then ends the season with a tough team against South Carolina at South Carolina. So you could potentially maybe even be looking at two, three more losses down the stretch here.
So, I don't know if anyone caught that Clemson game, Florida State, Wednesday night. What a heartbreaker. I mean, you're talking one play away from, you know, being 4-1 instead of 3-2 through a pick with like 30 seconds left. He was tied, moving the ball down the field. and ended up giving a pick down to like 10-yard line. Florida State scored to take the lead with like 10 seconds to go. Really tough loss because you get the ball back with like a minute 30 and you think, okay, I can go make a run here, go get this clock down and score to win the game. And it kind of flipped completely the other way for Clemson. I will say one thing to jump back in. We got to start talking about San Diego State, guys. Great coach. Taking care of business these first five games. Conference play starts, obviously, and things will get tougher. But, you know, that's a team that, you know, I want to keep an eye on here down the stretch.
I think it's exciting. That Mountain West, we've talked about it before. I know it was hit up on our great podcast this week, you know, hitting up those lower conferences. Is that Mountain West is going to get competitive. They're starting that conference play. You got a lot of teams up there at the top. The only big knock that you could have on the Mountain West is their out-of-conference scheduling wasn't very good. The test will really start to show with some of these teams. But I'm with you. I've been able to watch a couple of his games this year. Coach Big Z over there in the Aztecs have been able to move the ball both in the ground and through the air. Just to bounce back to the SEC a little bit, I know we talk about them a lot, but it's really hard not to when you're talking about the only conference with more than two undefeated teams. But that's going to change here quick. As you talked about, Tennessee kind of has like a gauntlet of games coming up against ranked opponents. And so you're going to start seeing the dominoes fall in that division. Obviously, you aren't going to have four undefeated teams at the end of the year. But I truly believe that probably every team in that conference is going to end up with a loss. And that's just because of how good that the conference is this year, from top to bottom, you know. But I'm with you. We're talking about you brought up that ACC game at Florida State. It brings me back to that our game day game of the week last week, which lived up to the hype. Iowa State versus Baylor came down to a last second drive by Iowa State, and instead of kicking the field goal, throws an interception late into the end zone, avoids overtime and ends up losing. Those types of losses this early in the season can be pivotal between, you know, making that run for the college football playoff when you lose that game. Even if you make your conference championship in some of these conferences, you're going to be left out as once the playoff committee and stuff look.
Yeah, not only that, those tough losses, like we were talking about, that Baylor game, right? And then going back to that Clemson FSU game, that could, like, with a play, one play kind of at the end of the game, that could be like a morale killer for your team and set you up for like a trap game maybe in a week or two down the line. You could also lose another game or two and hurt your chances just overall. So, yeah, those tough losses can hurt the team bad, so.
Yeah, I fully expect to see conference championship games this year with 9 or 10 win teams against each other, and it's going to almost like work to their disadvantage. That, of course, if you win, you get the automatic bid and you're in, but if you're a 10-2 team and you lose that conference championship game and there's another 10-2 or 9-3 team that wins their conference championship game in another conference, like that could be the difference that kind of knocks you out or puts you on the outside looking in. So, yeah. Fully expect that this year. Like you said, Tim, I don't think there's going to be any undefeated conference champions this year out of the major Power Four conferences. So, yeah, a lot of cool stuff here, and it's going to be something we didn't really see last season. I think is going to unfold this season for sure.
Yeah, we're definitely going to see a bid stealer. Someone's going to end up sneaking into that conference championship, you know, with 8 or 9 wins, and they're going to end up it'll probably be a Power Four, but probably 9 wins. 10 wins, and they're going to end up stealing a spot from somebody else in that playoff because they're going to end up upsetting the team in that championship. And so it'll make it really difficult for that playoff committee. That's a job I wouldn't want to have to decipher through all these strengths of schedules and matchups and non-conference matchups. I think that next season we'll see a large shift in these athletic directors and coaches going out and actually scheduling a little bit tougher non-conference games because those are really going to matter, I believe, when that playoff committee's, you know, sitting down and taking a look at the different matchups and stuff throughout the season.
Why don't we go to our guest, Fifth Line? We had you in on the interview, but Fifth Line, if you're still with us, like, what are your thoughts on some surprises, some coaches that are standing out, or maybe even some hot seats?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've seen Nebraska in a few absolute fist fights this year, giving up a lot of points, but also scoring a lot of points. So that's a lot different than what we saw last season. He ran the table pretty well and contended for the Big Ten. You know, Freak losing to Boston College there was a pretty tough hit, but I think he's able to recover and, you know, take it the rest of the season and do his best work out there. You know, I watched the Iowa-Ohio State game yesterday. That's a huge win for Wilds, 2-0 in the conference already against great teams. And we'll just have to see where he goes from there. And obviously, Coach Steele's got to figure some things out there as well.
Speaking of guests on the show, we have a couple extra guests today. I know many of you have known in the league that we have a father-son coaching duo in the league. And so why don't we bring them on the show here? We got make sure they're still here. You guys here?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Look at that. So we can all confirm, Pat, they are real. These coaches are real. And we have them here on the show live today.
Thanks for having us. This is Randall.
Thanks for having us. This is Boss Ranger.
Hey, guys. RB here. Yeah, conspiracy theory Pat Petty was wondering if there was any chance it was the same person. I think he was joking and giving a hard time. But I want to ask you guys the first question here. How did the NDL become a family affair for you guys? I guess, Ran, how did you bring Boss into the mix? How did that start?
As a lot of you guys know, I've been in the NDL since season one, and so been playing forever. And my son at the time was a little too young to play. He wanted to play, and that's back in the day when the game used to have the mascot game. So I'd let him get on. He'd play some mascot games, and he just had a blast doing it. And it was the last version we had. And I was like, you know what? I'll let you play the next one. And then the game discontinued. And we were heartbroken because honestly, it was the only game I ever played. So once we found out it came back, and you know, obviously he's a lot older now. He's a junior in high school. It's like, you know what? We're going to get you in. And so it just, that's how it began. Again, it's the only game I ever played. And he always watched me and he tried to coach me and give me tips. And sometimes I listened, sometimes I didn't.
So I'll turn it over to you, Boss. What's your first NDL memory? Like, I guess at what point were you like, oh, this NDL thing is cool. My dad's in it. I want to be in it. Do you recall or remember that?
It was a while ago. I do remember he was playing college football. He was playing against Roy as Houston, and he just kept losing to him. But it's just, it looks so fun. It looks so realistic. I'm like, oh, that's something I want to do.
That's awesome. Well, I've been kind of talking about you at Boston College. It seems like you have a lot of close games. You know, obviously you took our current game day host to the wire last game. Let me ask you about that one. You know, very close game. It looked like a chess match. You know, what was your take of that game, or how did you feel, even though it was a loss, like how did you feel afterwards?
We're talking about Tennessee, right?
No, sorry, Ohio State. Ohio State game.
Ohio State, okay. It was a close game. I was able to stop him on defense. The problem was his defense is so much better that I couldn't get anything on offense. If y'all watched the game, the only points I scored were pick sixes on defense.
I did. I was able to watch that game. I was very impressed by the defense, and it's no easy task playing against that Ohio State defense as well. So I got to ask, you got Rand Dog and Boss Ranger. Is there any tie between those names? I know Rand starts with R-A-N and then you got Boss Ranger. I guess Rand, how did your name start? And then after that Boss, how'd you pick yours?
So Rand Dog started for me back in the high school days. My name is Randall and, just had some buddies that would always call me Dog. And so it just kind of half the two put them together, Rand Dog. So that's mine.
My name, I was back in like third grade. I'm not sure how it started, but I was like, that's just a cool name, and I've stuck with it ever since.
I love it. So you guys play every season against each other, correct? Or these first two seasons you guys have played against each other. How is that gone? Are you guys playing on the same TV? Are you guys in separate rooms? Talk us through that experience and what's that like after the game?
So honestly, we've only played each other once, and that was last season when I was at Rice. The reason we don't play each other a lot is because we know, at least the plan as of now, is to schedule each other in out of conference, and so we're trying not to get too familiar with each other, keep a few bag of tricks. And at the same time, I mean, I watch most of his games that he plays, and he watches most of mine, so we're trying to actually not play each other. So again, the crazy thing is, yes, we've only done it actually one time, which Rice ended up taking that one. As far as how we play, yeah, we have two PS5s, so he's usually upstairs in the game room, and I'm in the living room playing. And we still got our headsets on, like anybody else that plays.
Yeah, this is Phony here. I've got a question or two for both of y'all. So, when y'all play, right? Say y'all play same opponent in the same season. Do y'all like scout like off one another, and someone gives you some tips about what a team's doing, or kind of how does that process go between both of y'all?
Yeah, whether it's the same opponent or not the same opponent, again, I actually work out of town in Austin. It's about 2.5 hours from here, and so when I play, he'll call me on the phone and he's watching my stream and he's like, "Dad, why are you running that play?" And Dad, he's spreading his lines. You got to run up the middle. And, you know, remember, stay in your game plan. So we're both giving each other, you know, tips and hints, you know, trying to see it from that outside lens. You know, same thing when he's playing a game. You know, I'll be watching his stream and I'll be like, "Hey, remember, run the ball. Remember, run the ball. Play your game plan." Because you just kind of need that voice, that assistant coach almost, per se. Even though we're at different schools and we play each other, it's kind of that assistant coach voice to remind you to stick to the game plan.
That's very understandable. I have a buddy I do the same too with, so I'm right with y'all. So, I guess like overall wise, with how many times y'all played, and I know Randogs, season one vet, been around for a while, played with the Houston Cougars a lot. You guys match up quite a bit, just I guess offline wise, and kind of you guys keep track of your guys' overall record of who's up and who's down.
We have like a little trophy we have. It's like the Paul Revere's ride trophy every time we play. So he has the name because he won the last game, and I'm looking to put my name on it this time.
And where that trophy came from is our last name is Revere, so it just made sense to do it that way. As far as offline games go, I mean, we did play a handful of games back in the day, previous versions. But I wouldn't say we have any official records going on other than the 1-0 dad versus son.
Ran RB back here. So is that like, you know, like, oh, the old man still got it? Like, you know, like you're playing basketball in the driveway and you're still beating your son. Is that how that feeling works when you win this game?
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's basically what I told him. I mean, he's got the better stick skills, and I told him that. And, you know, you see my record now at Texas State, and it's not where I want it to be. And it really does come down to the stick skills. I'm not as quick as I used to be, but at the same time, it's kind of that old man, you know, that old man strength. Y'all know where that comes from. You know, I hadn't lifted weights in years, but I can still lift just because old men are strong. So it kind of comes down to that same game. You know, I played my game. I played smarter. And it ended up working out last season. And even though my record right now is 0-4, and there's a really good chance it'll be 0-5 after the matchup versus BC and my son, there's still that chance.
Raw Dog, this is Tim real quick. If you win that game against your son and you don't win another game at Texas State this year, is your season still a success?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that is the game that's circled on the calendar. And, you know, again, we're 0-4 right now, but, you know, every week starts fresh. And, again, if I win that game, that trophy sits on my mantle for one more season, and that's all that matters.
So this is phony back here real quick. Got another question. So going off of that week three matchup between y'all two, right? Anything that y'all get on the mics between each other or talk to each other in game while y'all are playing, or kind of how's those games usually like between y'all two?
We're usually in a party together. We're talking. We'll be like, "Oh, that's a great play," and we'll talk a little trash to each other, like, "Oh, that's my pick," and stuff like that. A little friendly banter.
Yeah, and it's actually it's the only game that I actually have my mic unmuted, just because I cuss a lot at all the mistakes that I make on my own. So it's actually the only game in the season that I will have my headset on the entire time, just kind of chatting with him, enjoying the time. Win or lose. Luckily, the last one was a win, though.
Last question for me. So I'm doing the math here. Boss, were you even born when your dad started playing in the NDL? It doesn't sound like it.
No, I was not born yet when it first started.
That blows my mind that the NDL is so old that we got a father-son duo in here that wasn't even born at the start of it. That's awesome. That's what the NDL is, man. That's really cool. I know, like, Tim, you have a nephew in the league, and I think we have another father-son duo now as well with Mark. But, man, like, how cool is that this thing has been around that long, this community, you know, 20 years, that it's become a family affair, and I fully expect that it will continue to become a family affair over the next 10 to 20 years as well. So awesome, guys. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, boss. Yeah. Just a quick question here, but just looking at your out of conference scheduling, was that your choice, or did the athletic director just schedule all those opponents? I mean, it looks like you went out and just either they sought you because they thought it was an easy opponent, or you sought them because you wanted a challenge. What was it?
I wanted a challenge. After last season going from competing for the ACC title to just blowing the last 3-4 games, I took a step in. I was like, I had to schedule some good games. I had to prove something.
Well, we love it. I mean, there's nothing that I enjoy more at the beginning of the season here, seeing those big matchups between and I'd love seeing, you know, younger people go out and challenge themselves and stuff like that. I think that we could probably speak on behalf of the league here that we all enjoy those early season matchups. We really appreciate you guys coming on the show. I know it's early in the morning for you guys out there on the West Coast. I think you guys are West Texas. You're in Texas, aren't you?
No, that's close enough. We're central. Yeah,
close enough to the West Coast.
Definitely had to wake up my son, though. He was asleep.
Well, we really appreciate you guys coming on the show today. You guys can stick around. You guys can go ahead and give your insight on our games of the week that we're going to pick here in a little bit. As you guys know, we keep track of all our games that we have picked this year. We're kind of catching up to Pat because Pat's been too busy for us here on the show. As you can see here, I had a huge week last week. Hoping that I don't. One of the games hasn't been played yet, but go for trying to catch up to him. As you can see, we got some big games coming up this week. We have the first game we'll kind of talk about here is number 10 Tennessee at number 8 Florida. Obviously, this has huge playoff implications. Probably one of the bigger games of the week. What do you think, Penguin?
Tennessee Florida is a. I mean, this would be a huge game, even if they were both 0-5 right now. So, I mean, you know it's going to be intense for whatever play. In Tennessee, it's been a super impressive team so far this season. They've got a pair of 35-0. James Pierce is just destroying people from defensive end. While at the same time, Gators are definitely proven with that tough win over A&M earlier this season. But in these rivalry games, I gotta love the side with the home team in this case. So makes me want to throw up saying it, but go Gator. RB?
I'm gonna go next year. So I agree with you, Penguin. I think Florida had a great win over Texas A&M. Very tough team to play. Tennessee, hasn't been tested yet, and I think this is going to be their first test on the road against a great Florida team and a great Florida coach. So I'm going Gators here.
I think both teams sitting here at 5-0. Here comes a really tough stretch for the Volunteers. We've already talked about that. Playing at Florida, then at Alabama. Florida's just rushing for over 200 yards a game as a team. I think that Montrell Johnson's really going to be one of the best players in the SEC this year when it's all said and done. I just don't think that Tennessee's front seven, at least what we've seen so far, is really going to be able to control and stop that rushing attack from Florida. It's kind of like a three-headed monster down there with that stable of running backs that they have in Gatorville. I think the game's at home here. I just don't think that Tennessee's going to have the firepower. I think they're going to be playing from behind the whole game. With Florida controlling the clock. I got Florida winning a close one here.
Yeah, I'm in agreement here, getting scared that everyone's picking Florida. I'm on Florida as well. I have never really been that high on Tennessee, and I know we got to stop giving Garvey that bulletin board material. But, you know, James Pierce is the best player on that roster, and he's a pass rusher, and Florida runs the ball a lot. So I can see Florida running past him as he's trying to get that pass rush. We talk about Tennessee's got the gauntlet coming up. Florida's got it as well, but I truly think Coach Marion is one of the best users here in the game. I played against him in a scrim. He took real good care of me at the Swamp. Yeah, I'm going Florida.
And what about you, Fifth Line? Who do you have? You're taking place of Pat this weekend.
Contrary to what Pat would probably pick, I'm going to roll with Tennessee here. I've played Coach Garvey in the past a few different times. The command he's got over that offense is wild, just getting his skill players in the spaces that can disrupt your defense. And I think it'll be a close game, but I got to roll with Tennessee here.
Awesome. We can't just have all five teams going for the Gators here. Hey, what about you, Randog and Boss Ranger? Who do you guys have?
I got Florida winning it. Tennessee, obviously, I just played him. He's a very good coach, always keeping you on your toes with the play calling. But I just think Tennessee going into the Swamp, I think Florida is able to win this one. I think Tennessee will definitely test them, but I think Florida wins a close one.
Actually, I'm going to go the other route. I haven't seen Florida play, but I know Marion is a good coach in Florida, and they're at the Swamp. But I'm going to go with Fifth Line here, and I've seen Tennessee play. They've actually, you know, they got a good game plan. So I'm going to pick Tennessee on the road.
There you have it. Next matchup is going to be that we're going to talk about at Colorado at Kansas State. This is going to be kind of an interesting matchup here. What do you think, Penguin?
Well, it's both teams are sitting with one loss in the season, and the winner here has a chance definitely to remain in the Big 12 race. We're still looking up at Baylor and Kansas, obviously. Colorado's already seen Baylor this season, so they know what that task entails. And as you might expect, their offense is all Travis Hunter. He's got 29 catches on the season, which is 21 more than the next closest receiver. So he is far and away their focal point. On the Kansas State side, they've got a dynamic two-headed monster in Edwards and Giddens at running back. Question is really going to be, can Parrish at cornerback, who's a really skilled player, do enough to slow down Hunter tonight? And honestly, even though this game's on the road, I've got to think that the Buffs are going to have enough to get it done in this one.
Yeah, I agree with you right there, Penguin. I know a little bit about Kansas State and kind of what they like to do. They love to use their two running backs, and Dylan Edwards and DJ Giddens. So it's a deadly duo back there, especially being at home in this game. Big matchup against Colorado, but I just think Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, especially with Jimmy Horn out there as well, I don't think it's going to be enough to stop Colorado, but I'm taking the Buffs in this one. What do you got, Tim?
I'm with you guys here. I think Colorado lost a tough one last week against the undefeated Baylor Bears. I think it'll be interesting to see, though, how they rebound. These two teams are going to rely on not turning the ball over, not I mean, it's not big play after big play after big play so far this season. I just, every week, it's the same thing for me with Colorado over the last couple of years. I've been like, man, at some point, they've got to start getting these playmakers and utilizing this team speed and starting to score some points and kind of get on the board early and often to make teams play catch up ball. I really do think that Colorado is going to win by two touchdowns here.
Yeah, I'll keep it short and sweet. I got Colorado, you know, tough loss early, obviously, conference loss, but they'll get another shot at it. And Kansas State, I will give Bear ass credit, much improved from last year, off to a great start, played against him in a scrim, really like his game. But Colorado's too much, I think, in this one. We'll pass it over to Fifth Line. Who do you got?
Yep, I will also roll with Colorado. I think they're one of the most skilled teams, obviously, out there. That offense is very scary. If they get a couple defensive stops as well, that'll help them all the more. I think they take this one as well.
What about you, Father Stone?
I got Colorado winning this one. I think they're going to be hungry to win after losing to that Baylor team, and they're going to be able to pull away from Kansas. Yeah, and I guess we'll make it the clean sweep. I also got Colorado. I think they have a kind of the better roster. I know Bear Ass has been here a lot, and I hate picking against a veteran like that. But I just think the roster at Colorado is just a little better.
Well, there you have it. That's seven for the Buffs. That may be the first time the first time we've had seven people pick for a certain team. So I talk about bulletin board material. I'd consider that an upset that Kansas State's able to pull that off. The next matchup is probably one of the bigger matchups that we've had this year, two undefeated teams that are going to kind of shape the landscape of the SEC moving forward. We're going to say that every week, though, with these top teams playing each other. We have Alabama traveling into South Carolina Gamecock country. What do you have, Penguin?
I think this game is going to be not just big for today, but for the entire season. I'll say this now, the winner of this game will be in the SEC championship game and the playoff. I think it's going to be that big. The momentum is going to be that real. You got Bama. They've already beaten Georgia, Miami, Milroe's a dynamo who just spreads the ball around so well. South Carolina's got the home crowd. Took out LSU, be it they were weakened, still a good win. And Sellers has proven to be a fantastic quarterback with his ability with the 16-2 touchdown interception ratio. He is a dangerous, dangerous man. Yeah, having said all that, I got to like Bama. I think Milroe is just truly one of the best players in the nation, and I think a good chance to win the Heisman this season. So, roll Tide.
I'm going to go a lot opposite of you, Penguin. Know a little bit about South Carolina as well. Seen a lot of his gameplay. Great coach over there. Great addition to that team. Their offense is hard to stop. Rocket Sanders in the backfield. Man, he is a bowling ball back there. But that's not even their best point. I think their best point is what's going to stop Bama is their defense. Their pass rush is unbelievable. I think that's going to come up huge for some turnovers. I'm going South Carolina by six.
And we're split so far. I mean, this was a tough one for me. Obviously, watching some of their games this year, I've been able to watch. I've obviously tuned into the Alabama-Georgia game where Alabama wins, you know, late 33-30, and they kind of played catch-up throughout the game there and caught back up. I think they're really the battle. If you were to take the two teams, which one's battle-tested more, I would say Alabama. I know it's early in the year. I know LSU is a good team, but they also had a couple suspended players from some nightly interactions they had down there in Baton Rouge. You're playing without their starting quarterback and stuff. And so I'm not discrediting South Carolina. Great season so far. I just think that Big Mike there in Alabama, I just can't see him not getting the Crimson Tide ready to play on the road here. I think that Alabama wins a close one.
Yeah, every game Coach Big Mike plays, every big game he plays, ends up being a close one. And it seems like every single time he comes out the victor. We saw it last week against Georgia. Amazing game. Over 21 guys watching that on a Monday afternoon during the work hours. I'm going Alabama here. Probably going to regret it because South Carolina is rolling right now. But it just seems like Big Mike wins every close big game, maybe aside from that one playoff game. But I'm going Alabama here.
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys. I'm going Roll Tide as well, as much as it pains me to say that. I just think Big Mike is a coach that makes a difference, and obviously his ability to kick the long field goal is definitely a threat. But I think I see a close one. I'm going to say he keeps it within three, though.
What about you, Randall, good boss?
Obviously, Metro D, very good coach, especially with what he was able to do last year with Charlotte. But I think Bama, just being able to beat Georgia at Georgia, I think they'll be fine going into South Carolina. They do need to watch out for Nick Harbor and how good he is. But if they're able to stop him, I think Bama's going to win this one. Yeah, and actually, I couldn't have said that any better myself. Like father, like son, huh? Yeah, I just think Big Mike, been around for a while, has some national titles under his belt.
We just become best friends.
And then just having the roster he has at Alabama, kind of like you said, you know, South Carolina being at Charlotte last year and having that great season. But just, again, I think Bama and Big Mike, they're going to go into the hostile crowd and they're going to be able to take it.
And it sounds like hopefully Phony there isn't the only one that wins this this week here with the rest of us picking Alabama. I think that's going to be a really good game. Speaking of good games, obviously I'm a little bit biased here, but the Mountain West has some stuff going on up there in this conference this year. This is a tough one. We have the Wyoming Cowboys going into San Diego State. Play the Aztecs. Aztecs undefeated on a very hot streak. What do you have here, Penguin?
It is a really great matchup. You got two teams that run the ball fantastically. Over 1,000 yards. And Diego State running back, just shy of a grand ball on the season. You know, both these offenses have focus in them to know that running the ball is going to lead to victory. Granted, Wyoming has been tested and almost took out USC earlier this season in a shootout. But once again, I think home field is going to be what tips it here, and I think the Aztecs take this one late with a game-winning drive in the last minute of the game.
Yeah, that's a great point that you made there, Penguin, about that USC-Wyoming game. Wyoming's off to a great start. I think the Mountain West is a conference everybody's going to be sleeping on. A lot of great team, great coaches in there that's doing great things, so I'll just keep an eye on, but and I think San Diego State's gonna be one of those teams that that surprises a lot of people this year. Home game here against Wyoming. I got San Diego State in a close one.
Yeah, so I'm biased here. I debated on whether I wanted to pick or not. I don't want to give San Diego State any bulletin board materials. I don't think he needs any. I think we have two evenly matched teams going here for a Mountain West showdown early. Both teams are averaging around 43 points a game. Both teams have given up 24 points a game this season. They both are near a 480 yards offense per game. I think really the difference between this game is going to be who can run the ball better. Both teams have shown that that's what they rely on, is their rushing attack. I think Whaley has over 1,000 yards this season, and then Cooper's right behind him with 933, both in the top five in the NDL in rushing, to where both quarterbacks try to play the game where they don't turn it over, right? And that's normally going to happen in that type of offense. I think the big difference in the game is going to be a turnover, and then it's going to be really tough for either team to overcome that turnover. Obviously, I have the Cowboys of Wyoming ruining San Diego State's perfect season.
Dang, I'm not going to give him bulletin board material, but now there's some bulletin board material. I love it. That's what game day is all about. So the Mountain West, where was this last season? I was the commissioner of the Mountain West, and it was a sleepy conference. Now it's like the most intriguing conference outside of the SEC, I think, in my opinion. This is a tough pick here for me. you know, Tim, love what you're doing at Wyoming. I think it's going to be a wildly entertaining game. But I am really high on San Diego State. One thing to note, that San Diego State just got a ratings bump with a lot of players. I'm not sure if the team rating went up a ton, but and I'm also not sure why they got a ratings bump. They're like 4-4 here in real life. But in the NDL, they got a great coach. They got Big Z. He's rolling. He's 5-0. This is my pick to make the college football playoff out of the Group of Five conference. I'm rolling with San Diego State. Fifth line, who do you got in this game?
I'm going to take San Diego State as well. Obviously, I just came off of an in-season game against them as well. Absolutely gashed me up with the run game. I believe Big Z said that he either went to school there or was some kind of alum, had some kind of ties to the program, which, you know, on the podcast, talking about that, you guys mentioned, that makes a big difference as well. So I'm rolling San Diego State here.
The crowd here doesn't like that. I think the crowd here are Wyoming fans. I'm just saying, we have some Wyoming fans that traveled down to Columbus. What do you think, Boss Ranger and Randog?
Obviously, both are great coaches. Obviously, Lick's unable to pull away that victory against USC, which is definitely a tough loss. But I just think San Diego State, I think they're able to win this one at home. The famous words of Lee Corso. Not so fast, my friend. Actually, I think Wyoming pulls it out. Again, it's a coin flip because both coaches are good. Both teams are pretty on point. I know that...
Did we just become best friends?
Yep!
I know that Wyoming has to go on the road, but I don't see San Diego State having that much of a home field advantage to really cause anything there. So I can see Licks pulling it out here.
And I love it. Love the support here. Obviously, it's going to be a tough game. I'm just obviously excited to be where I'm at right now. And I'm with RB, though. Wonderful conference to be a part of, Mountain West. I really do believe there's going to be a team from the Mountain West representing the Mountain West in the college football playoff this year. I think one of those teams is probably going to run the table here on out. The next game we got coming up may not have all the fireworks that the normal Red River Showdown has, but as always, it's going to be a big game. We have Oklahoma traveling to number 4 Texas. What do you got, Penguin?
Well, Red River rivalry is always a fun game, and the Sooners are sitting winless at this point in season. But let's remember, those losses are to both Duke and Tennessee. So, I mean, those aren't bad L's at all on the record. Texas, on the other hand, has only played Coastal Carolina and BYU to this. So you could really argue they haven't been tested either. And this is the pick I probably have the least confidence in given that. Granted, one team's 2-0, one's 0-2, but I've got to go with Texas, but I really don't feel good about it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Penguin. But this is one of those rivalry games that you always look at, it doesn't matter how teams are, both teams are. Both teams could be like 0-5 on the year, right? It's always going to be a shootout. It's always going to be a great game. I think this is another one of those games where it's close. I just think Steamroller's rolling in Texas right now. So I think Texas is going to come out of here with a late score and a victory.
Yeah, I'm with you guys there. Oklahoma's been playing better of late. Obviously, they lost a close one to Tennessee on the road, but it's Texas. They are in Texas for the Red River Showdown. This home field advantage is going to be crazy. Oklahoma hasn't seen anything like that this year. CJ Baxter is going to run all over those Sooners. I have the Longhorns by 35.
Wow. One thing that I guess is a question for me, I don't know if anyone knows this, shouldn't this game be played at a neutral site? The Cotton Bowl Stadium is an option in this league and online. So I feel like, you know, from tradition standpoint, it should be played at the neutral site that it is. But anyways, if anyone can answer that in the chat, this is a matchup for me. Steam is going to roll, no pun intended, but maybe a little bit dad joke there. Oklahoma, for me, that coach at Cincinnati Shade last year had a nice season, but I think he bit off more than he can chew this year in the SEC, and I think you're going to see a regression. It's no disrespect to him. He's a very, very good player, great coach. Glad he's part of the NDL, but I'm with you. I think Texas takes this one like 35-7.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Texas as well. I played the game earlier this year. I absolutely got rolled there as well. But there's a reason he was he went into the playoff last year and made a run. So I'm rolling Texas.
What do you guys think, Boss Ranger and Randolph?
I played SMU last year, and for them, they were really good. And for them to be... They went to the championship last year. Unfortunately, they lost. But for them doing that with SMU, if they have Texas, Texas is gonna they're gonna roll. They're gonna win this one easily.
Yeah, same here. Me being in Texas and a Longhorn fan, favoritism. So whether you know Texas was 0-5 and OU was 5-0, it didn't matter. I was picking Texas anyway. Hook 'em.
Go Longhorns, everyone says. So, obviously, the next game we've kind of hit on earlier. I did anyways. Georgia Tech having a phenomenal season right now in the ACC. We have Notre Dame. I think this is year two with Rain taking over the Irish here. What do you think, Penguin?
It's going to be a great game. You know, Tech's a great surprising team, a fantastic story on the season. They've got the top offense in the ACC, fourth overall in the nation. Second-ranked passing in the entire nation, but it ends today. I think the Irish are going to prove to be a little bit of the next level, and it'll be a good game for a while, but the overall experience and skill, Notre Dame and that home crowd are going to prove too much. Notre Dame pulls away in the second half.
Right there with you. No one could pay me enough to bet against Notre Dame. Born into Notre Dame. I don't care what we look like every year. Rain's done a great job with that team. Irish by a million.
So I wasn't torn here, but I am. It is interesting here because I'm trying to understand if Rain's defense, second year defense, has gotten worse, or if just their schedule's gotten a little bit tougher. Last year it was no surprise they played the worst non-conference. They played the worst schedule in the nation. And this year I think maybe it's just a little bit tougher. That defense are giving up a few more points than normal. Georgia Tech comes in averaging over 38 points a game. The problem is Georgia Tech's defense is bad. They're allowing 31 points a game. Notre Dame's still toting one of the better defenses in the NDL, given just under 20 points a game. I think a player to watch today is going to be Haynes King, quarterback for Georgia Tech. He's got 19 touchdowns already. You know, Notre Dame's got a very stout secondary, though, as well as they've got two fantastic linebackers, Villamu Asah and Jack Kaiser. I think that they're going to create some havoc and get in some throwing lanes, and I think you're going to see Haynes King start to struggle there, definitely in the second half trying to play catch-up. I got Notre Dame winning.
Yeah, I think I just learned, Phony, I didn't know you were a Notre Dame fan. I'm also a diehard Notre Dame fan. I will be headed to the game next weekend in South Bend. But I think Rain has been playing with his food a little bit. I think he heard us loud and clear on the podcast last week. You know, he's giving up more points. You know, I think he's been testing and, like I said, playing around with some things. He heard us loud and clear. He held his Louisville, I think, opponent to 7 points, 35-7, I think that score was. I got Notre Dame big here with you guys. Going to roll. I think you're going to see Rain out for vengeance the rest of the season, getting back to the college football playoff and not losing early and getting you know, at least to that semifinal, if not a national championship. Biffline, who do you got?
I'm going to be contrarian here and go with Georgia Tech. I think somebody's got to step up and give Rain a good challenge here. And I think Georgia Tech has the skills to do it on offense, and we'll see how this one turns out. But I think it's going to be Georgia Tech in the end taking the victory.
What about you, Boss?
I got Notre Dame winning this one. I think their team overall-wise is just so much better. They're going to be able to override Georgia Tech. And as much as I want Georgia Tech to win, him being in the ACC, I think Notre Dame wins this one. Yeah, and I got Notre Dame as well. I was actually shocked last year that Notre Dame wasn't in the national title game. When they lost in the semis, I was just, again, shocked. I don't know what else to say besides that. So I see them hungry this year, and I see them taking this game against Georgia Tech.
If Lions got the support of the Georgia Tech alumni right now. So last game of the day to pick is obviously our location here in Columbus. It's been great. We got Oregon, number 5 Oregon, traveling into number 6 Ohio State. What do you got, Penguin?
Ducks, you know, still out there, has them hungry, and the championship, the expectations. Ohio State, you know those kids are about a team that's not quite good enough. But both of these teams suffered not just losses, a double-digit line, where they kind of got pushed around for Michigan State and Iowa, respectively. Coming into this one here, how are you going to respond? It's really going to be about leadership. And I think leadership, for me, that's where I got to give the edge to the Ducks. And Dylan Gabriel steps up, stands out today, and shows why the Ducks went after him so hard to add him to the roster. Ducks, a peace corps.
Not so fast there, Penguin. Last week, I went against the home team for the first time. I don't think I'm going to do that again. Buck Guy fans are rowdy here. Big game. I'm going with Buck Guys.
Oh, they love that pick here. Love that pick here in Columbus.
Good.
Yeah, the crowd's going insane here. I think both teams are coming off upset losses here. We've talked about it. We've hammered it at the beginning of the show. This really feels like a must-win game for each team. Keep those hopes alive for making this year's college football playoff. I think Oregon comes off a crushing loss to Michigan State, where Coach Shelsaw's defense give up over 330 yards through the air. And worst of all, his offense turned the ball over 5 times. You're not going to win very many games. Definitely on the road, turning the ball over 5 times. Gabriel has to play better for the Ducks. I'm sure, you know, speaking with Coach Shell earlier this week, that was his big thing, is that we've got to get better on the offensive side of the ball. We've got to quit turning over the ball. We got to make our reads. The players are there. We're open. We've just got to make those plays. I think on the offensive side of the ball, Oregon's going to be okay today. It's kind of been the story all season for the Buckeyes. They're averaging only 20 points a game on the offensive side of the ball. They really haven't figured it out. That you aren't going to win very many games in that conference scoring 20 points. The Ducks on the other side, though, they're scoring 40 points a game. I think if they keep those turnovers down today, I think they're going to be fine. I have the Ducks flying in. They're going to take a big victory over the Buckeyes here. We're going to get this is kind of a get-right game for Coach Shell here.
Yeah, unpopular pick with the crowd here. Great crowd today. It's been awesome. I will say this is a game. This is why you take the Oregon job, for games like this. And Shell took this job for a chance at a national title, obviously a better team with a lot of speed. This is going to be a great game. We've already all beat it to death. This game is probably going to have huge implications on the rest of the season. For one, the Big Ten, and two, you know, the national stage. I had to scroll back through our chat to see who I picked because I couldn't remember, and I didn't want to pick the wrong one and have the graphic be the wrong team. All that said, I got Ohio State in a close, close game. Fifth line, who do you got?
Well, I'm definitely going to take the Ohio State University here. I believe this is a get-right game for Coach Siet. Siet, save it, send it. You know, just play loose, go out there, play your game. I do think that the Buckeyes have a defense to give them the edge in this game, and I think they'll take it home here in Columbus. OH, baby.
OHIO. What do you got, Randog?
I may be a little salty because I lost to Ohio State by 7, so I'm going to go ahead and pick the Oregon Ducks. obviously Ohio State's defense is really good, but I think Shell and the Oregon Ducks are going to be able to get through the Ohio State team.
Yeah, and I think just kind of comparing opponents, Ohio State losing to Iowa versus Oregon losing to Michigan State, you know, I think that Oregon's loss was to a tougher opponent. So I'm going to go ahead and get Oregon Ducks on the road.
And we're really doing everything we can to make this crowd upset. We're kind of split here between Ohio State and Oregon, as we, I think we all are agreeing here. It's going to be a great game. Really come down to whatever team probably is not going to turn the ball over the most. Well, I've had a great time today here with all these guests on the show. Really appreciate it, Fifth Line, Randog, and Boss for coming on the show today. I know it's early on a Saturday morning. You know, as always, Penguin, Phony, and RB, appreciate you guys coming on the show as well. Anybody got any last parting words?
Yeah, it's been great being on the show, my first time. Would love to be back. Just great production today. The NDL is really buzzing this last week. Obviously, you know, there was a fire kind of lit under everybody. And I just want to say, you know, thank you to everyone who puts in the time for this show and the NDL media, and just to the owners, the coaches, all y'all out there who play your games, are active, and lean into this community. And, you know, can't wait to see how the rest of this week, this next block, and the rest of the season unfolds.
Yeah, I'm going to second that. Again, I love everything the NDL does. Again, been here since season one, and just I'm glad it's back. Love all the extra stuff that you guys do. I really appreciate you bringing my son and I on. It was an awesome experience. And for all those haters out there that said we were 2-1, now you know.
Tony, Penguin.
Yeah, it's always been great here. Game day's been great. Keeps getting better and better each location we get to. Just excited to kind of see how this game plays out later. And go Buck guys.
And I'm just exhausted from scrubbing the floor here. But I feel good about my picks. It's going to be a great day. Can't watch these games.
Yeah, well, there you have it. Everyone's saying everything. We're excited to try to pick a matchup in week 10 and 11. We're taking requests, so go ahead and throw in your reason why we should be traveling to your location week 10 and 11. Thank you, everyone.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game. You drop a pass, you run a mile. You miss a blocking assignment, you run a mile. You fumble the football.